The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Fly, Eagles, fly. We can spell. What a great day for our Philadelphia Eagles and for all of us fans. And you know who was there? Our friend Jeff Bartos was right there front and center. So we want to bring him in, get the behind the scenes. Of course, you know Jeff Bartos, former U.S. Senate candidate here in Pennsylvania, Republican strategist, co-founder of PA 30 Day Fund, among many other great titles that you wear. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning. I hope you and your whole family are well. And of course, good morning to all your listeners. What a special day. I'm actually still down in D.C. Yeah. So what a special 2 days.
Nice. Well, I hear that you and Rick Scioli went for like a 7 mile run this morning together, right?
Yeah.
I did. I have my tradition, which goes back over 20 years. If I'm lucky enough to be able to stay over here, I do my morning run, which ends up being about 6 miles.
And 6 miles?
At mile four. Mile four stop at the Lincoln Memorial. Always read the Gettysburg Address and the second inaugural. And if you're feeling, by the way, very powerful words, appropriate as I was wearing my Make America Healthy Again green hat that I was wearing yesterday from walking from the hotel to the White House for the celebration. And as someone walked by me, they took a double take and then told me to take an unnatural act against myself. And it wasn't very pleasant.
Wow.
And when I read President Lincoln's words this morning of with charity towards all and malice towards none, some of our friends on the left have forgotten that.
Yes, among other things.
We need a camera following Jeff Bartos in a slow motion montage to open a film of him running the 6 miles past all the monuments.
Great idea.
That's what it reminds me of. Is that what's going through your mind, Jeff? Are you running in a movie montage?
No, I just think this is such a beautiful city. Yeah. Not a lot of great stuff happens here over many, many years, but I think the last 100 days have just been, and today's 100 days, right? So what a special, you know, to be there for the Eagle celebration yesterday on day 99 and then wake up this morning, day 100, probably the most remarkable 100-day start to a presidency since since Roosevelt in 1933, right?
Hopefully.
I mean, it's pretty remarkable.
It is. It's also a remarkable day. Maybe people don't realize, but on this day, and I know that you had posted on social, or you had reposted others who put that it's Israel's Memorial Day today, April 29th.
Yes.
And so what does that mean to you in the wake of, I just saw a morning report this morning that the Houthis were firing at one of our warships and because it was pivoting, basically knocked off a fighter jet into the water, which sank. I mean, we're still dealing with this, which is unbelievable to me that we're still in the Middle East trying to bring forth peace there.
Yeah, so the Israelis have a remarkable, from the start of the state in 1948 until now, Yom HaZikaron, which is the Memorial Day, is followed immediately the next day by Independence Day. And so there's this profound sadness on Memorial Day. I have been in Israel on Yom HaZikaron in 2013, actually. And there'll be the night before, so last night, and then today, I believe at noon, they'll sound a siren across the whole country for 2 minutes, and everything stops. When I tell you everything stops, I mean people get out of their cars on highways, people get out of their cars in cities. Wherever you are, it stops. The whole country stops for 2 minutes to pay respects to the women and men who've died defending the state of Israel since 1948. It's amazing to be there. And then at sundown, you immediately go into the most joyous day of the year, which is Independence Day, and it's uniquely Israeli. And it's such a privilege to have been there over the years to witness this profound sadness of 24 hours into this profound joy. And that's really how the Israelis live. In terms of what's happening in the Red Sea, yes, the Houthis keep firing. And I read the same thing as you read, that our aircraft carrier, the Truman, had to make an evasive maneuver. And in doing that, an airplane apparently slipped, an F-18 apparently slipped off the flight deck and into the sea. I've heard estimates $58 million, $80 million, whatever it is. It's a very expensive aircraft. And I said this back in December on CNN when I was on the Abby Phillips show. We were talking about inflation. And I said, when President Trump comes in, he's not going to have any more patience for the Houthis shutting down the Suez Canal. And trillions of dollars of goods flow through the Suez Canal every year. And now they have to go around the southern tip of Africa. which leads to increased costs. And so President Trump's taking care of it. The Houthis will be neutralized. It's just going to take some time. They're hiding. How do you bomb someone back to the Stone Age when they're already in the Stone Age? And so it's a challenge, but the Trump team will figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, but here we are, you know, 571 days past October 7th. I can't even believe, as the words come out of my mouth, I can't believe that it's 571 days and that this is still happening.
It's profoundly sad. I was there, Dawn, as you and I have talked about, and you've been so gracious to ask me questions about it. I was there in June. I'll be going back, I think, pretty soon. The Israelis are getting on. I mean, 59 hostages still in the caves and tunnels in Hamas. I'm sorry, in Gaza, held by Hamas. This war would be over tomorrow if Hamas laid down their arms and surrendered and released the hostages. That would have been the same on October 8th or October 9th. They've refused to do it. The Israelis are the tip of the spear, defending Western civilization and this anti-Americanism, anti-West, anti-civilization. This lunacy that we've seen on college campuses and throughout our cities over the last 570 plus days. Thank God, and I'll say thank God, President Trump, Vice President Vance, the amazing team at the Justice Department, my friend Leo Terrell, my law school classmate Harmeet Dhillon, they are taking the fight. Secretary McMahon over at the Department of Education, Secretary Kennedy at HHS, they're taking the fight to these anti-civilizational lunatics on our campuses and in our cities. And the battle will be won. But the Israelis have been on the front lines, the tip of the spear. And now we have an administration. Thank God we have an administration starting 100 days ago that said no more. We've had enough.
You know, Jeff Bartos, when you look at this and it's 100 days, President Trump not so long ago reiterated the fact that he said, by this weekend, I want these hostages home. And by some of them who have been released, that we know that some of those who've been held now for all of this time, for, you know, 570 plus days, that some of them are, as Trump said, not in great shape. So what kind of a timeline do you foresee here as far as the reality of, I think, Trump losing patience?
Well, I think you start with the vision and the direction that the president's given, which has been firm, which has been resolute, which has been empowering, and the support, the real true support for our allies in Israel. President Trump is the most effective and consequential president in U.S. history for the U.S.-Israel relationship. His commitment to combating anti-Semitism and anti-civilizational lunacy is second to none. His record speaks for itself. And I think the team he's put around him, Secretary Hegseth, Secretary Rubio, Ambassador Witkoff, National Security Advisor Mike Waltz, these are some of the finest, smartest, most capable people anywhere fighting this battle. And so I think the president knows, well, I know the president knows exactly what he's doing. The team is executing the president's direction and the president's vision. And, the hostages would not have started coming home in January but for President Trump's leadership. They've said that. And the only chance, I think, that we have to bring any more of these hostages home, 59 held, it's estimated 24 are still alive. I mean, those estimates, I don't know. It's heartbreaking.
That was Sarah Netanyahu, obviously the prime minister's wife, that was one of the headlines within the past, 24 hours. 24 hostages.
We read at our family Seder this year, I broke with tradition and added to the Haggadah a Wall Street Journal op-ed written by Agam Berger, who's, I'll send it to you, Dawn. Written by a 20, she may be 20. The words were so powerful, and she talked about her celebrating Pesach last year in the tunnels of Gaza in hell, and then this year in freedom and reflecting on that journey from really slavery, right? That's what the story of the Exodus is, from slavery to freedom. And her words, I mean, I can't do justice to her words here on the radio, but I read it word for word at our Seder. We had 16 people. Everybody was crying. Yeah. I mean, I had to practice it 3 times to get through it without crying. So the spirit of the people, the support of President Trump and his team, I just can't underestimate how important that support is to the hostages and their families and all the people in Israel. They're looking to President Trump, and he's delivering more leadership than anyone could have hoped for. And I worked, as you know, I worked day and night on the campaign to support him and to help him in whatever I could do to help him win Pennsylvania. And Cheryl and I say every day, you know, it was the best time we ever spent in terms of how we devoted our time to that effort. And thank God he's there.
Yeah, thank God he's there. I just, putting all this together, and then even the ADL's recent report that came out last week, thinking about anti-Semitism that was allowed on our college campuses, you know, what is being done as far as at the administrative level, and what do you support to kind of purge our country? We don't talk about this enough, Jeff. To me, sometimes I think to myself, I cannot believe that this spirit of anti-Semitism, where kids who are Jewish or perceived as Jewish, right? Because that happened too, were bullied, threatened on campuses across the country, including here. And we're hearing more about that. And so what's being done to just eradicate this, especially by those who are guests and on student visas in this country?
So, yeah, it's such an important question. I was chuckling in my mind as you said that, not because this is a very serious topic, but I was thinking yesterday as I walked down 16th Street and got screamed at by this stranger for my hat, that I was well prepared for that growing up as a Zionist and a Jew in a rural town. I was like, yeah, I was prepared to be yelled at for no reason. But all kidding aside, it's a very serious question. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important for everyone listening, if they're at parties or they're talking to friends who say, well, these students have First Amendment rights, First Amendment rights. It's not about First Amendment rights. I mean, I'm an absolutist when it comes to free speech. I think we all should be. Mm-hmm. This is immigration policy. You cannot be here on a student visa. You cannot be here as a guest in this country and advocate publicly for, or frankly, privately, but you certainly can't do it publicly, for the overthrow of Western civilization, for the overthrow of the United States. You can't do it, period. Mm-hmm. It's not a question of your First Amendment rights. You're here as a guest. You're here on a visa. There are rules written into that visa. And Secretary Rubio and Secretary Noem and Secretary Homeland Security, Noem and Director of National Intelligence Gabbard, like, they're on the task. The Justice Department, Pam Bondi, Leo Terrell, Harmeet Dhillon and their team, they're on the task. If these universities don't want to follow the rules, then stop taking federal money. Period.
Yeah.
Just give it back. Stop taking it. You can do whatever you want. Look at Hillsdale College. Look at Grove City here in Pennsylvania. They don't take federal money. They can do what they want. They still have to abide by the law, but they don't have to take federal money. But if you're going to take federal money, and we can ask another question, if you're Harvard and you have $52 billion endowment, why do you need federal money? But okay, fine. If you're going to take that money, there's rules, period. This is really simple stuff. As President Trump campaigned on, it's common sense.
Yeah.
And common sense has, you know, the faculty lounge in the Ivy League is where common sense isn't even allowed to pass, right? You can't get through security. So common sense goes out the door. If you really want to localize it on the problems, it's the graduate students and the faculty in the arts and sciences, you know, the liberal arts, as it's called. You know, we're not having these problems in the chemistry labs and the bio labs. I mean, they're just working too hard to save lives and to create the next generation of medicines and therapeutics and make our lives all better. That's good research. The humanities are a cesspool. It's a swamp of anti-Americanism and anti-Semitism and hatred of civilization. And enough. President Trump said enough. And so they have all the levers. I think if you're going to sum it up, though, when your listeners are at parties and they're talking to friends about First Amendment, this is not a First Amendment issue. It's an immigration issue. And if you're a university and you take federal money, you have to abide by the rules or don't take the money.
Yeah. Amen. So I'll end on a lighter note. And that is, as far as yesterday at the White House, you know, what was your favorite? Was there a favorite moment with the Eagles there, with everything going on?
So there was a favorite, uniquely Philly Eagles fans moment, which was, I mean, we just all chuckled. There was somehow a mention, I think the president mentioned Taylor Swift, and people booed. And I just said, I love our state. I love our city. That was not a political thing. That was just, you know, she roots for the Chiefs, even though she's a Redding girl, right? She's grew up in Berks County, but she's rooting for the Chiefs.
And we don't surprising, but right from the beginning in the first quarter of the big game, which I was there, I watched in person. I was there along with Taylor Swift. How did that work out?
It was awesome. And I think also the charm. So the president knows, right? He's one of the smartest, most aware people I've ever been around. Mm-hmm. He knows that Jeffrey Lurie has not been the biggest fan in the past. And the president went out of his way to be gracious and hospitable because that's his way. Mm-hmm. And it was just wonderful to watch him be so warm and gracious and hospitable. And the way the Eagles responded to that. And I give Mr. Lurie credit. I give Howie Roseman credit. I give the team credit. But most I give credit to President Trump for just being the warmest, most hospitable. He loves to welcome people to the White House. He loves to welcome people into the Oval Office. And I smile. It's why we work so hard. Yeah. You know, it's why we work so hard to elect him. And yesterday, a lot of hugs from a lot of Team Trump Pennsylvania who were all there. And it was a wonderful place to have a Pennsylvania reunion.
Yes, nice. Well, listen, until next time, my friend, thank you so much for being here today and sharing that great moment. Jeff Bartos.
Thank you for having me. Bye-bye.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.